Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight to have you join us today on Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your input on the issue of the day. As we speak to the issue of the day, each and every day, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's not man's word, it's God's word. It's not denominational dogma, it is God's word. It doesn't make any difference what the political rhetoric may be at the time of the day or the time of the month or the year or the issue that may be at hand. We face the issues based on the authority of the Scripture. I call it the truth book. The truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am truth." Further, he makes a declarative statement in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And in Psalms 117:2, the Scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So, ladies and gentlemen, as we speak to the issues, as we address issues each and every day, we do so from the authority of Scripture. I call it having a central biblicist worldview, looking at what is taking place through the prism of the Word of God. For example, when we see what's taking place in Israel today, what does the Bible say about it? When we see what's taking place in Russia, what does God's Word say in relationship to Russia? How does it fit into the eschatological future? When we see what is taking place with China, what does this Bible say about China? Is China in the Scripture and the eschatological prophetic last days? When we see what's taking place with the dearth and the food shortages and with famines on a global basis, does the Bible speak to that issue? When we see Joe Biden and we see what is taking place with the sexualization and the demoralization and the weaponization of education in America, does the Bible speak to that issue? What should we do? How should we then live? Today, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to talk about a subject that perhaps many shy away from. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Perhaps you've heard the term, but you cannot that you cannot serve two masters. But do you know the source of the words? It is very, very true because it comes from the Word of God. The God's Word says on that subject, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon means money or the world. It's an impossibility to serve God and serve the world. It's an impossibility to serve God and serve government, submit to government. We either submit to God or submit to government, but we cannot bifurcate that and ride the fence. That's what we'll be talking about today. And in doing so, we're going to be looking at what is taking place in America, some of the new laws that's being passed in California that's authorizing and making legal prostitution. Some of the things that's taking place in relationship to the NGOs, that's the non-government organizations that's taking money from the federal government. When I say not NGOs, primarily we're talking about religious organizations, denominational organizations that's taking mega millions from government in order to support crime that is coming in illegally across the border. Yes, that's happening with hundreds of millions of dollars. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, shortly after our brief monologue, we want to invite you to call in, join the dialogue and discussion today. We'd love to hear from you. Let me remind you, this program is designed around you, our listener. The broadcast each and every day is designed around a Q&A format. We set the stage, we ask the questions, we allow you to call in to have your input, your dialogue, your discussion on the issue. It's called Looking at It from the Biblical Worldview, a Truth Worldview. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we see that to be factual today. We find today that when you stand for truth, as we do each and every day, and I pray that you do each and every day, on the job, at school, in the classroom, and with your neighbors, with your family members, that you stand for truth. Many times, ladies and gentlemen, when you stand for truth, you lose those around you. A good example, if it is in a pastoral setting, the pastor counsels with a family about what do I do? My daughter or my son just announced they're a homosexual. How do I respond to it? When you give wisdom, words, and counseling from wisdom of the scripture, multitudes of the times they just drop out on God. Because the mindset is that somehow, some way, because it's family, we need to love them, cudgel them, embrace it, embrace their lifestyle. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. You cannot do that. That's riding the fence. That's serving two masters. And it's an impossibility. But today, in this enlightened, woke society, we find those, especially in the younger generation, in the millennial age group 18 to 35, the latest poll shows that 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. Notwithstanding what the Bible says, and the Bible is truth, it is the major truth book. Without it, we have no truth. We go back to the fundamentals of most all of the laws in America today. We're birthed out of the Ten Commandments, rooted out of the Ten Commandments. My mantra and cliche has been for years, if you can't obey 10 laws, how can you obey millions or thousands? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, and I digress to say this, but across America, for the local governments, the state governments, the federal governments, we put on the books about 250,000 new laws every 12 months. We don't take any off, but about 250,000 new laws. One person said, a number of years ago, in speaking about that issue, said you can get dressed in the morning, get in your automobile, drive to work, get out, go in your office, go into place of work, and by the time you've started your work day, you have broken probably a dozen laws that you didn't even know existed. It is amazing how we try to control society with the laws, but yet what we see taking place today, we're finding laws being of morals and ethics and values being absolutely diminished and destroyed, where Christians are being confronted and chided and challenged because we insist on moral, ethical responses from our governmental leaders. Ladies and gentlemen, it was former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint made this statement, ladies and gentlemen, and may I say to you, it is so fitting. He says, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement. Very, very, I believe, beneficial and enlightening, challenging, encouraging. It says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge and encouragement to you each and every day. It doesn't make any difference what Biden says. It doesn't make any difference what the political machine says. It makes no difference what the socialist, Marxist, Communist Party called the Democratic Party. It makes no difference what they say. We need to stick to the truth, and you won't find it on CNN. You won't find it on the MSNBC or ABC or CBS or NBC. You'll find truth in the Word of God. So I commend the book to you. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Times knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road, 11291. That's 11291, Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful, wonderful benchmark. 165-foot flagpole. Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole with the flag flowing, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. The Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are open. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to talk about some issues today that I believe are very, very fitting for us to realize and recognize what the government is doing is putting us in the mold, putting us in the machine, putting us in the position of bifurcating our lives, trying to appease and satisfy government, and at the same time trying to appease and satisfy God. Let me read you Matthew 6:24 once again. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, that is God and money, God and the world. It's an impossibility. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, today, all the mainline denominations, all the political agenda, and most of society are attempting to please God and please government. Now, ponder it for a moment. There's an attempt today to please God and to appease or please government. If you don't believe that's so, just go back a couple of years ago and see where the federal government said all churches to close. Perhaps you remember it. Maybe you know, don't. The government said, just close for 15 days for us to flatten the curve. Talking about the pandemic called COVID. Close 15 days. Well, most churches stayed closed over a year. Appeasing government. Not one thing in the scripture that says that the church of God is to obey the government in relationship to shutting it down. And at the same time the churches were shut down, you had the massage parlors, you had the houses of prostitution, you had the liquor stores, you had big box stores, all open, and yet churches were to remain closed. In fact, they banned hymn books you weren't to even sing in church because you might aerosol COVID. One pastor down in Tampa, Florida, was arrested and put in jail overnight because he continued to serve God by opening the church. Ladies and gentlemen, every mainline denomination, religious denomination, is attempting to please the world and to please God, and it cannot be done. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, just recently, the Pope, about 1.5 billion people that follow popery, the Pope said, and I'm reading the headline, homosexuality is not a crime. Then the Archbishop of York contends same-sex relationships are not sinful. The article reads this way. Two top global church leaders are sparking controversy with comments that seem to accept homosexuality without officially endorsing it. Pope Francis is criticizing all laws criminalizing homosexual behavior as being unjust, saying God loves all people just as they are. Where do you find that in the scripture? God loves us, but he hates the sin. God loves us, and it's through the work of the Holy Spirit that's wooing us to come to God in forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and to abandon sin. My Bible says when a person says yes to Jesus, all things have passed away and behold, means look intently and see, all things are become new. This article continues. Pope Francis is criticizing laws criminalizing homosexual behavior as being unjust, saying God loves all people just as they are. The leader of the world's 1.3 billion Roman Catholics call on bishops to welcome LGBTQ people into the church during the exclusive interview with Associated Press, declaring such laws unjust. Pope Francis said the Catholic Church should work to put an end to all laws that has any restrictions on homosexual behavior. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me pause before I read another line or two in this diatribe from a lost man in a robe that's feigning piety, that's leading billions of people to a place called hell. You might get upset. That's okay. You can show me in the Bible where I'm wrong. I'll apologize. He says that it is not a crime, but it's being embraced and saying that all laws restricting homosexual behavior should be removed. And he says, this must be done. This must be done. End quote. The Pope said bishops who support the laws of homosexuality are those which discriminate against the LGBTQ, I'm going to add the word, sodomite community, should recognize the dignity of everyone. Archbishop of York, homosexuality is not sinful. The Church of England, in the middle of the singular debate, Archbishop of York's Stephen Cottrell told the BBC News in a news interview that he believes sexual immorality is not sin at all. Ladies and gentlemen, for a sin that God destroyed two cities and all the plains round about it, Genesis 19, read verses 1 through about verse 25, 26. The left page, full page in my Bible. And you'll see what God thinks of what the Pope is embracing, what the bishops in the Catholic Church are embracing, a sodomite lifestyle, LGBTQ agenda, as they call it, a sodomite lifestyle being embraced by the Roman Catholic Church. That's bifurcating truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that is trying to appease government and the world and still trying to please God, the robe and the attire being worn to look, show piety, and at the same time saying it's okay to commit sin. It's a sin that, according to the scripture in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, that God has given them over to vile affections. God's given them over to a reprobate mind. And ladies and gentlemen, if God says it's sin, regardless of what any denominational dogma may say. Regardless of what the Pope may say, it's still called sin. But ladies and gentlemen, the Pope just announced that homosexuality is not a sin. God's word says it is sin. And as I said a moment ago, God's word is God's word. It is firm and affirmative. Whether you trust it, whether you believe it, whether you accept it or not, it does not change it. But ladies and gentlemen, it is sad that we're seeing that. In fact, the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. J.D. Greer, about 3 or 4 years ago, had the audacity to say that we need to embrace the LGBTQ people, need to bring them into the churches, allow them to take part in the leadership role, and to love them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can take, and you heard me say this before, you can take a bushel basket of highly polished, beautifully red Washington State red apples, put one rotten one in the center of that bushel basket, put it in a closet for about 30 days, bring it back out, and the overwhelming majority of those apples will have rotted because of the one. It's an impossibility to bring a firebrand to your chest and not get burned, the scripture says. And yet we're trying to do that today in society. May I restate the premise today? You cannot serve two masters. It's an impossibility to serve God and government. Impossibility to bow to God and to bow to government based on what we see happening. Churches are allowing the sodomite pastors and priests and ordaining those of the LGBTQ agenda. The pastor said, we welcome those fully into life of the church on their own terms, according to the scripture. Listen to what this article says. Church of England officials boast of compromise on biblical marriage. Church of England officially has confirmed he sees no sin in immorality. Christian Concern documented the comments, which came after the church officially said that we would not allow gay marriage, but it would be recognized and blessed for same-sex couples. When challenged by the interviewer, William Crowley, on whether the church was sitting on the fence, bifurcating, ladies and gentlemen, sitting on the fence, appeasing man and trying to appease God, trying to appease government and trying to please God, sitting on the fence of the issue of same-sex marriage, Cottrell said, "Well, that's not how I see it. It is, I see it as a way of holding together. Listen, this is the radical, woke, cultural society going into the churches, different denominations." He said, "The way I see it, it's holding together a church which doesn't agree on this issue. And it takes us to a place where the LGBTQ plus people entering into the same-sex marriage, people in civil relationships and partnerships are able to come to the Church of England, and those relationships and marriages can be acknowledged and even celebrated. People can receive God's blessings, and that's a good thing," he said. Yes, of course, there are people who want more, but as we've just heard, these people who want to get a great deal less, there are people that want to get a great deal less. Yes, I think that it's something. Yeah, I think that it's a new place we're in the church today. Further, when Crowley is asked whether the church still thinks gay sex is sin, listen, well, what we're saying is that physical and sexual intimacy belongs in committed, stable, faithful relationships. Therefore, where we see a committed, stable, faithful relationship between two people of the same sex, we're now in a position where those people can be welcomed fully, embraced completely in the life of the church on their own terms," end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you analyzed and absorbed each of those statements, what this person is saying, this religious, pious leader is saying, is that we're going to allow the sodomites to come into the church to take command and control of the church and its leadership, and they're going to do so on their own terms. Ladies and gentlemen, the sodomites are not saying we want forgiveness for our sin. They're not saying we want you to allow us to come in because we've been born again and we put away old things. They're saying we'll keep the old sin habits. We'll continue to live the sodomite lifestyle, and we want you to embrace us. Ladies and gentlemen, every mainline denomination today, and I challenge anyone that can prove otherwise, every mainline denomination today, in either major or lesser form, have not only agreed upon, embraced, but also celebrating the sodomite lifestyle being brought into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that's not serving two masters, nothing is. And ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility to do that and to please God. It's an impossibility to do that and to be saved. It's an impossibility, as I've said so often, with those that we elect and send to Tallahassee. We elect and send them downtown to the marble castle called City Hall. We elect them to send them to D.C. and ask them to carry out what we've elected them for. When they get to those places of power and position, they want to appease the system rather than the people that placed them there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding today churches are allowing it. The system is allowing it. Our entire governmental system today is based upon nothing more and nothing less than trying to tip God and appease the human reprobate mind, primarily talking about the sodomite lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, across America, religious and political leaders are attempting to appease man and to please God. You remember Nancy Pelosi saying, "I'm a faithful Catholic." You remember Joe Biden talking about his Catholic relationship to God. They're saying that is tipping God. They're saying that to say to the public, "We are pious people. Look at what we do. We're going to allow sin to run rampant. And at the same time, we're going to say that we love God." Ladies and gentlemen, today our local, state, and national governments are attempting to pass laws that will satisfy the sinful nature of man, evidently not concerned about or having no regret for disavowing God's word. Here's a good illustration. Headline, pro-prostitution bill may worsen human trafficking, but they are part of the solution. Dateline, January the 29th. Subheadings on this article. California's recent pro-prostitution bill from the state Senate, Scott Wiener, have raised concerns among some anti-human trafficking groups that growing tolerance of prostitution will worsen sexual slavery, while others argue it is the solution to the rampant sexual abuse in our community. California ranked 7th in the nation for human trafficking in 2021 with 1,507 reported cases, averaging around 3.8 victims for every 100,000 California citizens, while the national average is 2.8 per 100,000, according to the statistics. Quote, our goal is to end modern-day slavery. Laws like this help to perpetrate activities like this. So it actually leaves children in a worse position. 89% of women in prostitution do not want to be in prostitution typically. They're recruited as minors. Stephanie Brown, Vice President of Saving America, told DCNF. The article further says, another bill passed that allowed minors to consent to sodomy with other minors. And in 2022, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed into law Senate Bill 357 that decriminalizes lottering for the purpose of prostitution. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, what we see taking place in the great land of fruits and nuts called California, what we see taking place there is the thumbing the nose at the plan of God for man. Thumbing the nose that anything's called morals and ethics and values. It was Tony Perkins just a few months ago, speaking of Joe Biden and this administration and the leadership in the blue states, said that they're doing more to destroy faith, family, and our freedom than any other president and administration in the history of America. I find it to be very, very sad, ladies and gentlemen, that we see that. Let me remind you that telephone is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Do you see this as being something that's an affront to God? Is what we are watching today something that points to the progressively worsening of America? Will it ultimately, listen, question, what we see taking place, if it continues to escalate, will it abolish, will it eradicate, will it destroy Christianity in America? Some writers say that it will. We're seeing that in Europe today, where Christianity is down 2% or less of all the population in Europe, the United Kingdom, that say they're Christians, less than 2%. Are we headed in that same trajectory? Are we going in that same direction? Will we see the same thing happen in America? Is it possible that we're watching the death of Christianity in the United States of America? I think so. And I believe that I have enough research articles to prove that, especially when you link it to what the scripture says, knowing that the world's not going to get better and better, but poor grammar, but it makes a point. It won't get better and better, but it get badder and badder. And I think that is happening today. And as Christians, we're bifurcating our lives. We're trying to serve God and government. And ladies and gentlemen, though that is for the woke society, I believe it is against what God would have for the child of God. I believe it's time we sit up, wake up, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and understand what's taking place in our great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.